me with his greatness?
No, he would listen because I am innocent, and he would say, I now set you free. I cannot find God anywhere, in front or back of me, to my left or my right. God is always at work, though I never see him. But he knows what I am doing, and when he tests me, I will be pure as gold. I have never refused to follow any of his commands, and I have always treasured his teachings. But he alone is God, and who can oppose him? God does as he pleases, and he will do exactly what he intends with me. Merely the thought of God all-powerful makes me tremble with fear. God has covered me with darkness, but I refuse to be silent. Job continues, Why doesn't God set a time? Chapter 24. Why doesn't God set a time for court? Why don't his people know where he can be found? Sinners remove boundary markers and take care of sheep they have stolen. They cheat orphans and widows by taking their donkeys and oxen. The poor are trampled and forced to hide in the desert, where they and their children must live like wild donkeys and search for food. If they want grain or grapes, they must go to the property of these sinners. They sleep naked in the cold because they have no cover, and during a storm their only shelters are caves among the rocky cliffs. Children whose fathers have died are taken from their mothers as payment for a debt. Then they are forced to work naked in the grain fields because they have no clothes and they go hungry. They crush olives to make oil and grapes to make wine, but still they go thirsty, and along the city streets the wounded and dying cry out, yet God does nothing. Some reject the light. Some rebel and refuse to follow the light. Soon after sunset they murder the poor and the needy, and at night they steal. Others wait for the dark, thinking they won't be seen if they sleep with the wife or husband of someone else. Robbers hide during the day, then break in after dark, because they reject the light. They prefer night to day, since the terrors of the night are their friends. Sinners are filthy foam. Those sinners are filthy foam on the surface of the water, and so their fields and vineyards will fall under a curse and won't produce. Just as the heat of summer swallows the snow, the world of the dead swallows those who sin. Forgotten here on earth, and with their power broken, they taste sweet to worms. Sinners take advantage of widows and other helpless women. But God's mighty strength destroys those in power. Even if they seem successful, they are doomed to fail. God may let them feel secure, but they are never out of his sight. Great for a while, gone forever. Sinners are mowed down like weeds. Then they wither and die. If I haven't spoken the truth, then prove me wrong. Bildad's third speech. God is the one to fear. Chapter 25. Bildad from Shuah said, God is the one to fear because God is in control and rules the heavens. Who can count his army of stars? Isn't God the source of light? How can anyone be innocent in the sight of God? To him, not even the light of the moon and stars can ever be pure. So how can we humans when we are merely worms? Job's reply to Bildad. You have really been helpful. Chapter 26. Job said, You have really been helpful to someone weak and weary. You have given great advice and wonderful wisdom to someone truly in need. How can anyone possibly speak with such understanding? Remember the terrible trembling of those in the world of the dead below the mighty ocean. Nothing in that land of death and destruction is hidden from God, who hung the northern sky and suspended the earth on empty space. God stores water in clouds, but they don't burst, and he wraps them around the face of the moon. On the surface of the ocean, God has drawn a boundary line between light and darkness, and columns supporting the sky tremble at his command. By his power and wisdom, God conquered the force of the mighty ocean. The heavens became bright when he breathed, and the escaping sea monster died at the hands of God. These things are merely a whisper of God's power at work. How little we would understand if this whisper ever turned into thunder! Job continues. I am desperate. Chapter 27. Job said, I am desperate because God All-Powerful refuses to do what is right. As surely as God lives, and while he gives me breath, I will tell only the truth. Until the day I die, I will refuse to do wrong by saying you are right, because each day my conscience agrees that I am innocent. I pray that my enemies will suffer no less than the wicked. Such people are hopeless, and God All-Powerful will cut them down without listening when they beg for mercy. And that is what God should do, because they don't like him or ever pray. Now I will explain in detail what God All-Powerful does. All of you have seen these things for yourselves, so you have no excuse. How God treats the wicked. Here is how God All-Powerful treats those who are wicked and brutal. They may have many children, but most of them will go hungry or suffer a violent death. Others will die of disease, and their widows won't be able to weep. The wicked may collect riches and clothes in abundance as easily as clay, but God's people will wear clothes taken from them and divide up their riches. No homes built by the wicked will outlast a cocoon or a shack. Those sinners may go to bed rich, but they will wake up poor. Terror will strike at night like a flood or a storm. Then a scorching wind will sweep them away without showing mercy as they try to escape. At last the wind will celebrate because they are gone. Job continues. Gold and silver are mined. Chapter 28. Gold and silver are mined, then purified. The same is done with iron and copper. Miners carry lanterns deep into the darkness to search for these metals. They dig tunnels in distant, unknown places, where they dangle by ropes far beneath the grain fields. Fires are built to break loose those rocks that have jewels or gold. Miners go to places unseen by the eyes of hawks. They walk on soil unknown to the proudest lions. With their own hands, they remove sharp rocks and uproot mountains. They dig through the rocks in search of jewels and precious metals. They also uncover the sources of rivers and discover secret places. Where is wisdom found? But where is wisdom found? No human knows the way, nor can it be discovered in the deepest sea. It is worth much more than silver or pure gold or precious stones. Nothing is its equal, not gold or costly glass. Wisdom is worth much more than coral, jasper, or rubies. All the topaz of Ethiopia and the finest gold cannot compare with it. Where, then, is wisdom? It is hidden from human eyes and even from birds. Death and destruction have merely heard rumors about where it is found. God is the only one who knows the way to wisdom, because he sees everything beneath the heavens. When God divided out the wind and the water, and when he decided the path for rain and lightning, he also determined the truth and defined wisdom. God told us, "Wisdom means that you respect me, the Lord, and turn from sin." Job continues, "I long for the past." Chapter 29. Job said, "I long for the past when God took care of me and the light from his lamp showed me the way through the dark. I was in the prime of life. God all-powerful was my closest friend, and all of my children were nearby. My herds gave enough milk to bathe my feet, and from my olive harvest flowed rivers of oil. When I sat down at the meeting of the city council, the young leaders stepped aside while the older ones stood and remained silent. Everyone was pleased. Everyone was pleased with what I said and did. When poor people or orphans cried out for help, I came to their rescue, and I was highly praised for my generosity to widows and others in poverty. Kindness and justice were my coat and hat. I was good to the blind and to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I defended them in court, even if they were strangers. When criminals attacked, I broke their teeth and set their victims free. I felt certain that I would live a long and happy life, then die in my own bed. In those days, I was strong, like a tree with deep roots and with plenty of water, or like an archer's new bow. Everyone listened in silence to my welcome advice, and when I finished speaking, nothing needed to be said. My words were eagerly accepted, like the showers of spring, and the smile on my face renewed everyone's hopes. My advice was followed as though I were a king leading my troops, or someone comforting those in sorrow." Job continues, "Young people now insult me." Chapter 30. "Young people now insult me, although their fathers would have been a disgrace to my sheepdogs. And those who insult me are helpless themselves. They must claw the desert sand in the dark for something to satisfy their hunger. They gather tasteless shrubs for food and firewood, and they are run out of towns as though they were thieves. Their only homes are ditches or holes between rocks, where they bray like donkeys gathering around shrubs, and like senseless donkeys they are chased away." Those worthless nobodies. Those worthless nobodies make up jokes and songs to disgrace me. They are hateful and keep their distance even while spitting in my direction. God has destroyed me, and so they don't care what they do. Their attacks never stop, though I am defenseless and my feet are trapped. Without any help, they prevent my escape, destroying me completely and leaving me crushed. Terror has me surrounded. My reputation and my riches have vanished like a cloud. I am sick at heart. I am sick at heart. Pain has taken its toll. Night chews on my bones, causing endless torment, and God has shrunk my skin, choking me to death. I have been thrown in the dirt, and now am dirt myself. I beg God for help, but there is no answer. And when I stand up, he simply stares. God has turned brutal, stirring up a windstorm to toss me about. Soon he will send me home to the world of the dead, where we all must go. No one refuses help to others when disaster strikes. I mourned for the poor and those who suffered. But when I beg for relief and light, all I receive are disaster and darkness. My stomach is tied in knots. Pain is my daily companion. Suffering has scorched my skin, and in the city council I stand and cry out, making mournful sounds like jackals and owls. My skin is so parched that it peels right off, and my bones are burning. My only songs are sorrow and sadness. Job continues. I promised myself. Chapter 31. I promised myself never to stare with desire at a young woman. God all-powerful punishes men who do that. In fact, God sends disaster on all who sin, and he keeps a close watch on everything I do. I am not dishonest or deceitful, and I beg God to prove my innocence. If I have disobeyed him, or even wanted to, then others can eat my harvest and uproot my crops. If I have desired someone's wife and chased after her, then let some stranger steal my wife from me. If I took someone's wife, it would be a horrible crime, sending me to destruction and my crops to the flames. When my servants complained against me, I was fair to them. Otherwise, what answer would I give to God when he judges me? After all, God is the one who gave life to each of us before we were born. I have never cheated anyone. I have never cheated widows or others in need, and I have always shared my food with orphans. Since the time I was young, I have cared for orphans and helped widows. I provided clothes for the poor, and I was praised for supplying woolen garments to keep them warm. If I have ever raised my arm to threaten an orphan when the power was mine, I hope that arm will fall from its socket. I could not have been abusive. I was terrified at the thought that God might punish me. I have never trusted the power of wealth or taken pride in owning many possessions. I have never, openly or secretly, worshipped the sun or moon. Such horrible sins would have deserved punishment from God. I have never laughed when my enemies were struck by disaster. Neither have I sinned by asking God to send down on them the curse of death. No one ever went hungry at my house, and travelers were always welcome. Many have attempted to hide their sins from others, but I refused, and the fear of public disgrace never forced me to keep silent about what I had done. Why doesn't God listen? Why doesn't God all-powerful listen and answer? If God has something against me, let him speak up, or put it in writing. Then I would wear his charges on my clothes and forehead, and with my head held high I would tell him everything I have ever done. I have never mistreated the land I farmed and made it mourn, nor have I cheated my workers and caused them pain. If I had, I would pray for weeds instead of wheat to grow in my fields. After saying these things, Job was silent. Elihu is upset with Job's friends. Chapter 32. Finally, these three men stopped arguing with Job because he refused to admit that he was guilty. Elihu from Buz was there, and he had become upset with Job for blaming God instead of himself. He was also angry with Job's three friends for not being able to prove that Job was wrong. Elihu was younger than these three, and he let them speak first. But he became irritated when they could not answer Job, and he said to them, "I am much younger than you, so I have shown respect by keeping silent. I once believed age was the source of wisdom. Now I truly realize wisdom comes from God. Age is no guarantee of wisdom and understanding. That's why I ask you to listen to me." I eagerly listened. "I eagerly listened to each of your arguments, but not one of you proved Job to be wrong. You shouldn't say, we know what's right, let God punish him. Job hasn't spoken against me, and so I won't answer him with your arguments. All of you are shocked. You don't know what to say. But am I to remain silent just because you have stopped speaking? No, I will give my opinion because I have so much to say that I can't keep quiet. I am like a swollen wineskin, and I will burst if I don't speak. I don't know how to be unfair or to flatter anyone. If I did, my Creator would quickly destroy me. Elihu speaks. Job, listen to me. Chapter 33. Job, listen to me. Pay close attention. Everything I will say is true and sincere, just as surely as the Spirit of God All-Powerful gave me the breath of life. Now, line up your arguments and prepare to face me. We each were made from clay, and God has no favorites, so don't be afraid of me or what I might do. I have heard you argue. I have heard you argue that you are innocent, guilty of nothing. You claim that God has made you his enemy, that he has bound your feet and blocked your path. But Job, you're wrong. God is greater than any human, so why do you challenge God to answer you? God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize his voice. Sometimes in the night, he uses terrifying dreams to give us warnings. God does this to make us turn from sin and pride, and to protect us from being swept away to the world of the dead. Sometimes we are punished with a serious illness and aching joints. Merely the thought of our favorite food makes our stomachs sick, and we become so skinny that our bones stick out. We feel death and the grave taking us in their grip. One of a thousand angels then comes to our rescue by saying we are innocent. The angel shows kindness, commanding death to release us because the price was paid. Our health is restored. We feel young again, and we ask God to accept us. Then we joyfully worship God, and we are rewarded because we are innocent. When that happens, we tell everyone, I sinned and did wrong, but God forgave me and rescued me from death. Now I will see the light. God gives each of us chance after chance to be saved from death and brought into the light that gives life. So Job, pay attention and don't interrupt, though I would gladly listen to anything you say that proves you are right. Otherwise, listen in silence to my wisdom. Elihu continues. You men think you are wise. Chapter 34. Elihu said, You men think you are wise, but just listen to me. Think about my words as you would taste food. Then we can decide the case and give a just verdict. Job claims he is innocent, and God is guilty of mistreating him. Job also argues that God considers him a liar, and that he is suffering severely in spite of his innocence. But to tell the truth, Job is shameless. He spends his time with sinners, because he has said it doesn't pay to please God. If any of you are smart, you will listen and learn that God All-Powerful does what is right. God always treats everyone the way they deserve, and he is never unfair. From the very beginning, God has been in control of all the world. If God took back the breath that he breathed into us, we humans would die and return to the soil. So be smart and listen. The mighty God is the one who brings about justice, and you are condemning him. Indeed, God is the one who condemns unfair rulers, and God created us all. He has no favorites, whether rich or poor. Even powerful rulers die in the darkness of night when they least expect it, just like the rest of us. God watches everything we do. God watches everything we do. No evil person can hide in the deepest darkness. And so, God doesn't need to set a time for judgment. Without asking for advice, God removes mighty leaders and puts others in their place. He knows what they are like, and he wipes them out in the middle of the night. And while others look on, he punishes them because they were evil and refused to obey him. The persons they mistreated had prayed for help until God answered their prayers. When God does nothing, can any person or nation find fault with him? But still, he punishes rulers who abuse their people. Job, you should tell God that you are guilty and promise to do better. Then ask him to point out what you did wrong so you won't do it again. Do you make the rules, or does God? You have to decide. I can't do it for you. Now make up your mind. Job, anyone with good sense can easily see that you are speaking nonsense and lack good judgment. So I pray for you to suffer as much as possible for talking like a sinner. You have rebelled against God time after time, and have even insulted us. Elihu continues, Are you really innocent? Chapter 35. Elihu said, Job, are you really innocent in the sight of God? Don't you honestly believe it pays to obey him? I will give the answers to you and your friends. Look up to the heavens and think. Do your sins hurt God? Is any good you may have done at all helpful to him? The evil or good you do only affects other humans. In times of trouble, everyone begs the mighty God to have mercy. But after their Creator helps them through hard times, they forget about him, though he makes us wiser than animals or birds. God won't listen to the prayers of proud and evil people. If God all-powerful refuses to answer their empty prayers, he will surely deny your impatient request to face him in court. Job, you were wrong to say God doesn't punish sin. Everything you have said adds up to nonsense. Elihu continues. Be patient a while longer. Chapter 36. Elihu said, Be patient a while longer. I have something else to say in God's defense. God always does right. And this knowledge comes straight from God. You can rest assured that what I say is true. Although God is mighty, he cares about everyone and makes fair decisions. The wicked are cut down, and those who are wronged receive justice. God watches over good people and places them in positions of power and honor forever. But when people are prisoners of suffering and pain, God points out their sin and their pride. Then he warns them to turn back to him. And if they obey, they will be successful and happy from then on. But if they foolishly refuse, they will be rewarded with a violent death. Godless people are too angry. Godless people are too angry to ask God for help when he punishes them. So they die young in shameful disgrace. Hard times and trouble are God's way of getting our attention. And at this very moment, God deeply desires to lead you from trouble and to spread your table with your favorite food. Now that the judgment for your sins has fallen upon you, don't let your anger and the pain you endured make you sneer at God. Your reputation and riches cannot protect you from distress, nor can you find safety in the dark world below. Be on guard. Don't turn to evil as a way of escape. God's power is unlimited, He needs no teachers to guide or correct him. Others have praised God. Others have praised God for what he has done, so join with them. From down here on earth, everyone has looked up and seen how great God is. God is more than we imagine. No one can count the years he has lived. God gathers moisture into the clouds and supplies us with rain. Who can understand how God scatters the clouds and speaks from his home in the thunderstorm? And when God sends lightning, it can be seen at the bottom of the sea. By producing such rainstorms, God rules the world and provides us with food. Each flash of lightning is one of his arrows striking its target, and the thunder tells of his anger against sin. Elihu continues, I am frightened. Chapter 37. I am frightened and tremble all over when I hear the roaring voice of God in the thunder, and when I see his lightning flash across the sky. God's majestic voice thunders his commands, creating miracles too marvelous for us to understand. Snow and heavy rainstorms make us stop and think about God's power, and they force animals to seek shelter. The windstorms of winter strike, and the breath of God freezes streams and rivers. Rain clouds filled with lightning appear at God's command, traveling across the sky to release their cargo, sometimes as punishment for sin, sometimes as kindness. Consider carefully. Job, consider carefully the many wonders of God. Can you explain why lightning flashes at the orders of God who knows all things, or how he hangs the clouds in empty space? You almost melt in the heat of fierce desert winds when the sky is like brass. God can spread out the clouds to get relief from the heat, but can you? Tell us what to say to God. Our minds are in the dark and we don't know how to argue our case. Should I risk my life by telling God that I want to speak? No one can stare at the sun after a breeze has blown the clouds from the sky. Yet the glorious splendor of God all-powerful is brighter by far. God cannot be seen, but his power is great and he is always fair. And so we humans fear God, because he shows no respect for those who are proud and think they know so much. The Lord speaks. From Out of a Storm. Chapter 38. From out of a storm, the Lord said to Job, Why do you talk so much when you know so little? Now get ready to face me. Can you answer the questions I ask? How did I lay the foundation for the earth? Were you there? Doubtless you know who decided its length and width, what supports the foundation, who placed the cornerstone while morning stars sang and angels rejoiced. When the ocean was born, I set its boundaries and wrapped it in blankets of thickest fog. Then I built a wall around it, locked the gates, and said, Your powerful waves stop here. They can go no farther. Did you ever tell the sun to rise? Did you ever tell the sun to rise, and did it obey? Did it take hold of the earth and shake out the wicked like dust from a rug? Early dawn outlines the hills like stitches on clothing or sketches on clay, but its light is too much for those who are evil and their power is broken. Job, have you ever walked on the ocean floor? Have you seen the gate to the world of the dead? And how large is the earth? Tell me if you know. Where is the home of light, and where does darkness live? Can you lead them home? I'm certain you must be able to, since you were already born when I created everything. Have you been to the places where I keep snow and hail until I use them to punish and conquer nations? From where does lightning leap, or the east wind blow? Who carves out a path for thunderstorms? Who sends torrents of rain on empty deserts where no one lives? Rain that changes barren land to meadows green with grass. Who is the father of the dew and of the rain? Who gives birth to the sleet and the frost that fall in winter when streams and lakes freeze solid as a rock? Can you arrange stars? Can you arrange stars in groups such as Orion and the Pleiades? Do you control the stars or set in place the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper? Do you know the laws that govern the heavens, and can you make them rule the earth? Can you order the clouds to send a downpour, or will lightning flash at your command? Did you teach birds to know that rain or floods are on their way? Can you count the clouds or pour out their water on the dry, lumpy soil? When lions are hungry, do you help them hunt? Do you send an animal into their den? And when starving young ravens cry out to me for food, do you satisfy their hunger? The Lord continues, When do mountain goats give birth? Chapter 39. When do mountain goats and deer give birth? Have you been there when their young are born? How long are they pregnant before they deliver? Soon their young grow strong and then leave to be on their own. Who set wild donkeys free? I alone help them survive in salty desert sand. They stay far from crowded cities and refuse to be tamed. Instead, they roam the hills searching for pasture land. Would a wild ox agree to live in your barn and labor for you? Could you force him to plow or to drag a heavy log to smooth out the soil? Can you depend on him to use his great strength and do your heavy work? Can you trust him to harvest your grain or take it to your barn from the threshing place? An ostrich proudly flaps her wings. An ostrich proudly flaps her wings, but not because she loves her young. She abandons her eggs and lets the dusty ground keep them warm, and she doesn't seem to worry that the feet of an animal could crush them all. She treats her eggs as though they were not her own, unconcerned that her work might be for nothing. I myself made her foolish and without common sense. But once she starts running, she laughs at a rider on the fastest horse. Did you give horses their strength? Did you give horses their strength and the flowing hair along their necks? Did you make them able to jump like grasshoppers or to frighten people with their snorting? Before horses are ridden into battle, they paw at the ground, proud of their strength. Laughing at fear, they rush toward the fighting, while the weapons of their riders rattle and flash in the sun. Unable to stand still, they gallop eagerly into battle when trumpets blast. Stirred by the distant smells and sounds of war, they snort in reply to the trumpet. Did you teach hawks to fly south for the winter? Did you train eagles to build their nests on rocky cliffs where they can look down to spot their next meal? Then their young gather to feast wherever the victim lies. The Lord continues, I am the Lord All-Powerful. Chapter 40. I am the Lord All-Powerful, but you have argued that I am wrong. Now you must answer me. Job said to the Lord, Who am I to answer you? I did speak once or twice, but never again. Then, out of the storm, the Lord said to Job, Face me and answer the questions I ask. Are you trying to prove that you are innocent by accusing me of injustice? Do you have a powerful arm and a thundering voice that compare with mine? If so, then surround yourself with glory and majesty. Show your furious anger. Throw down and crush all who are proud and evil. Wrap them in grave clothes and bury them together in the dusty soil. Do this, and I will agree that you have won this argument. I created you. I created both you and the hippopotamus. It eats only grass, like an ox, but look at the mighty muscles in its body and legs. Its tail is like a cedar tree, and its thighs are thick. The bones in its legs are like bronze or iron. I made it more powerful than any other creature, yet I am stronger still. Undisturbed, it eats grass while the other animals play nearby. It rests in the shade of trees along the riverbank, or hides among reeds in the swamp. It remains calm and unafraid with the Jordan River rushing and splashing in its face. There is no way to capture a hippopotamus, not even by hooking its nose or blinding its eyes. The Lord continues, "Can you catch a sea monster?" Chapter 41. Can you catch a sea monster by using a fish hook? Can you tie its mouth shut with a rope? Can it be led around by a ring in its nose or a hook in its jaw? Will it beg for mercy? Will it surrender as a slave for life? Can it be tied by the leg like a pet bird for little girls? Is it ever chopped up and its pieces bargained for in the fish market? Can it be killed with harpoons or spears? Wrestle it just once. That will be the end. Merely a glimpse of this monster makes all courage melt. And if it is too fierce for anyone to attack, who would dare oppose me? I am in command of the world and in debt to no one. What powerful legs, what a stout body this monster possesses. Who could strip off its armor or bring it under control with a harness? Who would try to open its jaws full of fearsome teeth? Its back is covered with shield after shield, firmly bound and closer together than breath to breath. When this monster sneezes, lightning flashes, and its eyes glow like the dawn. Sparks and fiery flames explode from its mouth, and smoke spews from its nose like steam from a boiling pot, while its blazing breath scorches everything in sight. Its neck is so tremendous that everyone trembles. The weakest parts of its body are harder than iron, and its heart is stone. When this noisy monster appears, even the most powerful turn and run in fear. No sword or spear can harm it, and weapons of bronze or iron are as useless as straw or rotten wood. Rocks thrown from a sling cause it no more harm than husks of grain. This monster fears no arrows. It simply smiles at spears, and striking it with a stick is like slapping it with straw. As it crawls through the mud, its sharp and spiny hide tears the ground apart. And when it swims down deep, the sea starts churning like boiling oil, and it leaves behind a trail of shining white foam. No other creature on earth is so fearless. It is king of all proud creatures, and it looks upon the others as nothing.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Job's reply to the Lord. No one can oppose you. Chapter 42. Job said, "No one can oppose you because you have the power to do what you want. You asked why I talk so much when I know so little. I have talked about things that are far beyond my understanding. You told me to listen and answer your questions. I heard about you from others. Now I have seen you with my own eyes. That's why I hate myself, and sit here in dust and ashes to show my sorrow. The Lord corrects Job's friends. The Lord said to Eliphaz, "What my servant Job has said about me is true, but I am angry at you and your two friends for not telling the truth. So I want you to go over to Job and offer 7 bulls and 7 goats on an altar as a sacrifice to please me. After this, Job will pray, and I will agree not to punish you for your foolishness." Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar obeyed the Lord, and he answered Job's prayer. A happy ending. After Job had prayed for his 3 friends, the Lord made Job twice as rich as he had been before. Then Job gave a feast for his brothers and sisters and for his old friends. They expressed their sorrow for the suffering the Lord had brought on him, and they each gave Job some silver and a gold ring. The Lord now blessed Job more than ever. He gave him 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 pair of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. In addition to 7 sons, Job had 3 daughters, whose names were Jemima, Keziah, and Kiran Hapuk. They were the most beautiful women in that part of the world, and Job gave them shares of his property along with their brothers. Job lived for another 140 years, long enough to see his great-grandchildren have children of their own. And when he finally died, he was very old.
You have been listening to The Holy Bible, Books of Poetry and Wisdom, Part 1, Job, narrated by Norman Dietz. Books of Poetry and Wisdom, Part 2, Psalms, narrated by Linda Stevens, Robert O'Keefe, Tom Steckschulte, Suzanne Torin, Myra Lucretia Taylor, Barbara Caruso, Andy Paris, George Goodell, Jenny Ikeda, Richard Poe, Jonathan Davis, Kevin R. Free, Richard Ferrone, Ruth Ann Fimister, Jack Garrett, Robert Ramirez, Caroline Clay, Ed Sala, Kate Forbes, Norman Dietz, John McDonough, Cynthia Darlow, and Carol Monda. And now, Psalms.
Psalms. About this book. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. Psalms are poems that can either be sung as songs or spoken as prayers by individuals or groups. There are 150 psalms in this book, and many of them list King David as their author. They were collected over a long period of time and became a very important part of the worship of the people of Israel. Some of the psalms tell the music leader what instruments should be used and what tunes should be followed. For example, look at Psalm 4 and Psalm 45. Many of the Bible's main ideas are echoed in the Psalms: praise, thankfulness, faith, hope, sorrow for sin, God's loyalty, and help. And at the heart of all the Psalms, there is a deep trust in God. The writers of the Psalms always express their true feelings, whether they are praising God for His blessings or complaining in times of trouble. Book 1. Psalm 1. The Way to Happiness. God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. That isn't true of those who are evil, because they are like straw blown by the wind. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment, and they won't have a place with the people of God. The Lord protects everyone who follows him, but the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin.
Psalm 2. The Lord's Chosen King. Why do the nations plot, and why do their people make useless plans? The kings of this earth have all joined together to turn against the Lord and his chosen one. They say, "Let's cut the ropes and set ourselves free." In heaven, the Lord laughs as he sits on his throne, making fun of the nations. The Lord becomes furious and threatens them. His anger terrifies them as he says, "I've put my king on Zion, my sacred hill. I will tell the promise that the Lord made to me. You are my son, because today I have become your father. Ask me for the nations, and every nation on earth will belong to you. You will smash them with an iron rod and shatter them like dishes of clay. Be smart, all you rulers, and pay close attention. Serve and honor the Lord. Be glad and tremble. Show respect to his son, because if you don't, the Lord might become furious and suddenly destroy you. But he blesses and protects everyone who runs to him."
Psalm 3, written by David when he was running from his son, Absalom. An early morning prayer. I have a lot of enemies, Lord. Many fight against me and say, "God won't rescue you." But you are my shield, and you give me victory and great honor. I pray to you, and you answer from your sacred hill. I sleep and wake up refreshed because you, Lord, protect me. 10,000 enemies attack from every side, but I am not afraid. Come and save me, Lord God. Break my enemies' jaws and shatter their teeth, because you protect and bless your people.
Psalm 4, a psalm by David for the music leader. Use stringed instruments. An evening prayer. You are my God and protector. Please answer my prayer. I was in terrible distress, but you set me free. Now have pity and listen as I pray. How long will you people refuse to respect me? You love foolish things, and you run after what is worthless. The Lord has chosen everyone who is faithful to be his very own, and he answers my prayers. But each of you had better tremble and turn from your sins. Silently search your heart as you lie in bed. Offer the proper sacrifices and trust the Lord. There are some who ask, "Who will be good to us?" Let your kindness, Lord, shine brightly on us. You brought me more happiness than a rich harvest of grain and grapes. I can lie down and sleep soundly, because you, Lord, will keep me safe.
Psalm 5. A psalm by David for the music leader. Use flutes. A prayer for help. Listen, Lord, as I pray. Pay attention when I groan. You are my king and my God. Answer my cry for help because I pray to you. Each morning you listen to my prayer as I bring my requests to you and wait for your reply. You are not the kind of God who is pleased with evil. Sinners can't stay with you. No one who boasts can stand in your presence, Lord. And you hate evil people. You destroy every liar, and you despise violence and deceit. Because of your great mercy, I come to your house, Lord, and I am filled with wonder as I bow down to worship at your holy temple. You do what is right, and I ask you to guide me. Make your teaching clear because of my enemies. Nothing they say is true. They just want to destroy. Their words are deceitful, like a hidden pit, and their tongues are good only for telling lies. Punish them, God, and let their own plans bring their downfall. Get rid of them. They keep committing crimes and turning against you. Let all who run to you for protection always sing joyful songs. Provide shelter for those who truly love you, and let them rejoice. Our Lord, you bless those who live right, and you shield them with your kindness.
Psalm 6, a psalm by David for the music leader, used stringed instruments. A prayer in time of trouble. Don't punish me, Lord, or even correct me when you are angry. Have pity on me, and heal my feeble body. My bones tremble with fear, and I am in deep distress. How long will it be? Turn and come to my rescue. Show your wonderful love and save me, Lord. If I die, I cannot praise you or even remember you. My groaning has worn me out. At night, my bed and pillow are soaked with tears. Sorrow has made my eyes dim, and my sight has failed because of my enemies. You, Lord, heard my crying, and those hateful people had better leave me alone. You have answered my prayer and my plea for mercy. My enemies will be ashamed and terrified as they quickly run away in complete disgrace.
Psalm 7. Written by David, he sang this to the Lord because of Cush, from the tribe of Benjamin. The Lord always does right. You, Lord God, are my protector. Rescue me and keep me safe from all who chase me, or else they will rip me apart like lions attacking a victim, and no one will save me. I am innocent, Lord God. I have not betrayed a friend, or had pity on an enemy who attacks for no reason. If I have done any of this, then let my enemies chase and capture me. Let them stomp me to death and leave me in the dirt. Get angry, Lord God. Do something. Attack my furious enemies. See that justice is done. Make the nations come to you as you sit on your throne above them all. Our Lord, judge the nations. Judge me and show that I am honest and innocent. You know every heart and mind, and you always do right. Now make violent people stop, but protect all of us who obey you. You, God, are my shield, the protector of everyone whose heart is right. You see that justice is done, and each day you take revenge. Whenever your enemies refuse to change their ways, you sharpen your sword and string your bow. Your deadly arrows are ready with flaming tips. An evil person is like a woman about to give birth to a hateful, deceitful, and rebellious child. Such people dig a deep hole, then fall in it themselves. The trouble they cause comes back on them, and their heads are crushed by their own evil deeds. I will praise you, Lord. You always do right. I will sing about you, the Lord Most High.
Psalm 8, a psalm by David for the music leader. The wonderful name of the Lord. Our Lord and ruler, your name is wonderful everywhere on earth. You let your glory be seen in the heavens above. With praises from children and from tiny infants, you have built a fortress. It makes your enemies silent, and all who turn against you are left speechless. I often think of the heavens your hands have made, and of the moon and stars you put in place. Then I ask, why do you care about us humans? Why are you concerned for us weaklings? You made us a little lower than you yourself, and you have crowned us with glory and honor. You let us rule everything your hands have made, and you put all of it under our power, the sheep and the cattle and every wild animal, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and all ocean creatures. Our Lord and ruler, your name is wonderful everywhere on earth.
Psalm 9, a psalm by David for the music leader, to the tune The Death of the Sun. Sing praises to the Lord. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart, and tell about the wonders you have worked. God Most High, I will rejoice. I will celebrate and sing because of you. When my enemies face you, they run away and stumble and are destroyed. You take your seat as judge, and your fair decisions prove that I was in the right. You warn the nations and destroy evil people. You wipe out their names forever and ever. Our enemies are destroyed completely for all time. Their cities are torn down, and they will never be remembered again. You rule forever, Lord, and you are on your throne, ready for judgment. You judge the world fairly and treat all nations with justice. The poor can run to you because you are a fortress in times of trouble. Everyone who honors your name can trust you.